The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell.
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so blasted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
That's right. It's the Money Life Market Call, and we're going to have some fun today because my guest is Ted Parrish. He is manager of the Hensler Equity Fund, HEQFX. It is Hensler, H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R, Hensler.com, named for Gene Hensler, who founded the fund and who's Teddy's worked with for many years. But it's Hensler.com if you want more information. A very stylized fund, a very specific methodology. Teddy can articulate it well, and we're lucky to have him. Ted Parrish, welcome back to Money Life.
Hey, Chuck, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm going to jump right into that methodology because you do have a very specific system that you use. And so folks will be able to understand, if a stock is a buy, it obviously meets the following criteria. And if it's a sell, it's obviously fallen off the wagon.
That's right. That's right. Well, Chuck, my firm was the namesake of my firm, Gene Hensler. He's a former professor, and he's by the book. He's from that school of Graham and Dodd. And, he believes that bankruptcy risk is the biggest risk you take when you invest in equities. And, a lot of us get away from that, but that kind of sets the tone for our whole strategy. We are a growth at a reasonable price shop, but with a high quality twist to avoid that bankruptcy risk. So it's a HARP instead of a GARP strategy. We want to buy companies that are financially strong. And what we mean by financially strong is we look at value line, financial strength, and S&P earnings and dividend quality. We want that to be an A for each company we buy on either one of those metrics. And that one screen eliminates a lot of the junk and leaves behind only solid balance sheets and many well-established proven business models. And from there, we target companies with a long-term earnings growth plus dividend yield of at least 12% or better and a PEG ratio of one or less than its industry. So in the end, we have about 150 companies to choose from. And from there, we pick different sectors that we think are going to grow better. We have themes we follow each year. And today, as we enter the fifth year of the bull market, we're overweight staples, technology, industrials, and slightly in energy. We are currently market weight in discretionaries and slightly underweight in financials and materials. And we have zero exposure to utilities and telecom.
I want to get back to the methodology for a second. I'm going to come back to where you're overweighted and what looks good and where you're underweighted and what looks bad. But I want to get back to the methodology. Now, most folks know when you mentioned GARP versus HARP. So let's go back and educate the audience. GARP, of course, is growth at a reasonable price. HARP is health at a reasonable price?
No, it's high quality.
High quality.
Growth at a reasonable price. Basically,
okay.
We want to own companies that have the good balance sheets, have solid debt use, but not excessive. And when they pay a dividend, we want to make sure that dividend is healthy, strong, and has been paid consistently, even through recession.
So it could be health at a reasonable price, realistically, in terms of financial health.
But, yes, it could be.
But I want to get back to something as well, because most folks don't look at reasonable companies and go, there's a significant bankruptcy risk. I mean, they're not reading too many stories about here's some stock trading at $13 a share and it's not great, but it's not terrible. And tomorrow it's going out of business.
Yeah.
When you talk about bankruptcy risk, what you're really talking about is the idea of not necessarily getting all the way to where they file. It's how much trouble could you get into? How close are you to being at the edge where, hey, if something bad happened, you'd go into that spiral that could lead you there?
Yes, and also allocating capital the wrong ways, ending up cutting your dividend, or ending up issuing more shares, diluting the current shareholder base, and even bankruptcy in some cases. If you look back at Enron, if you look back at WorldCom, if you look back at even AIG, they were on the brink at one point, Chuck, and you know, no one would have ever thought that with those companies. This initial screen keeps us from doing something stupid, in other words. We only buy high-quality companies, companies that we understand, first of all, and also not necessarily recognizable, because there are a lot of companies that meet this criteria that aren't everyday names, but their balance sheets are really strong.
Now let's get back to what you like and what you dislike. I'm going to actually start with the dislikes here. You dislike financial services. A lot of folks have been saying that, hey, financial services is where they can find some of the value still, because they were so tough to value for so long after 2008. You pointed out you're a Graham and Dodd based manager. You're not finding values in financials.
Well, we're about 20% underweight versus the benchmark, right at about 14.61% versus right at 16%. And the thing is, the banking sector makes up such a big part of the financials. And we just don't trust a lot of what we're seeing out of the banks nowadays. We don't think that they can properly tell us what their asset base is worth. I mean, the price of books, a value you can't trust. And also, we don't see a pickup in loans that we would like to see from most of the banks. There are a few banks that we like, but we think that there's still an outside chance for this whole too big to fail issue to come back around. And maybe even you see a reinstatement of the Glass-Steagall Act. That's possible, and that'll cause some disruptions in that sector. You know, but we're patiently waiting. Hopefully, we'll see some of those companies not necessarily struggle, but show some growth and some consistency that we can rely on.
Let's go back to the things that you think are particularly strong. You mentioned a number of different sectors. What are a couple of names that really sort of stand out to you as, here's the pinnacle of what we do? Here's something that really spins our fan in every direction.
Well, if you look at information technology, a stock that I know that most people either hate it or love it is Apple. Apple Computer, they have a pipeline that's robust, and it may not be number one in every space, but we think that they have the product line, the product cycle, the balance sheet to do well, and it's not a super high growth company anymore. We would look at it as a mature growth company that's going to continue to do well and do things to enhance shareholder value. Also, if you look in industrials, a company that's been around forever and is straight away from just being a purely industrials is General Electric. This company is leaning more and more towards the industrial business away from financial services. And we think that is a good thing because the long cycle businesses are just that long cycle. They will grow for years. And we think that they're getting back into a good vibe with what they're doing in the U.S. and abroad. And they're right in that sweet spot because they help their emerging markets actually facilitate some of the growth that they're experiencing. When you look at some of the plants that are being built, the use of electricity is growing, and GE is right in the middle of that with some of those products.
What's another name that stands out to you?
We like Diageo and consumer staples. I mean, if you look at their product assortment, it's huge, and they're all over the place. They take advantage of Europe, the Americas, as well as the emerging markets. You know, it's a company that's been there, done that, has a T-shirt. They pay a pretty decent dividend, and we think that they're just on the cusp of really exploding in emerging markets. We still own Pepsi in consumer staples. They've struggled a bit. I think Coca-Cola has done probably better over the past 5 years than Pepsi. But if you look at their brands, they still have multiple brands with over $1 billion in sales. And we think that, you know, they just need to streamline a few things. I think Frito-Lay and it's a possibility that one day you might see Frito-Lay spun out and that company separated. And that's maybe a catalyst for it over the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Well, now we're going to see how you feel about some securities that my audience is interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
or fold it.
Know when to fold them.
That's right, it's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Ted Parrish. He is the manager of the Hensler Equity Fund. HEQFX is the ticker symbol, Hensler.com, if you want more information. Hold It or Fold It, that's where we put our guest to your test. Now, if you want to participate directly, we need your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you are interested in. Send them to Chuck@MoneyLifeShow.com. Now, Ted, I'm going to start with a request that is not just important to the person who asked. It's important to my mother because okay. she owns this stock. And I'm hoping you're not going to be giving my mother bad news, because I promise you, no matter what you say, my mom and I will be discussing this pick later sometime today or this week. Bill in Royersford, Pennsylvania. But like I said, my mom, too, wants to know your opinion on Hewlett Packard. It's HPQ.
Well, you know, you can't put Hewlett Packard up there with the great technology companies that have a good product cycle, but you can say that Hewlett Packard is probably undervalued. I mean, the company is still relevant in technology. I would say that, you know, last year at the beginning of the year was a great value. This year is less so. I think that last year was a fix and rebuild year, as Value Line would say. And this year is more of a, you got to show me the money. I think that, you know, it's going to be a tough year, to really show high growth. And for that reason, I don't think this stock's going to do very well this year.
Okay. So it's not even hold it if you got it, but don't buy more. That's a sell.
Yeah. I would say sell it. Yes.
Okay. Well, sorry, Mom. That was a sell on Hewlett Packard, HPQ.
When do we sell?
We sell now, apparently. Next up, this is a request that also came in from Bill in Royersford, but this time he's joined by others, Josh in Petaluma, California, and Gordon in Downey, California. They all want to know about Johnson Controls. It's ticker symbol JCI.
You know, I wouldn't. There isn't one automobile manufacturer that we would purchase, given their history. I mean, they've done pretty well coming back from the brink. You know, a couple of them went bankrupt. But, you know, we see great demand out of autos in that whole market. And for that reason, we want exposure. And Johnson Controls is all over. I mean, their three divisions are very exposed to the autos, and they're doing well all over the world. I think their balance sheet's solid. I think they have a decent dividend. It looks like their growth for the next 3 years is shaping up to be pretty nice. It's one that I would buy if I didn't own, to get some exposure to the booming auto sector.
And the point there is also that you own the stock, because you said you'd buy it if you didn't own it. You own it, and you'd still be buying. That's Johnson Controls, Inc., JCI.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
Another request from Gordon in Downey, California. This, Cardinal Health, CAH.
Cardinal Health is another one that we own, Chuck, and we like the company. Decent dividend. You know, the Affordable Care Act is going to increase the usage of healthcare by the populace, and this company is going to benefit from it. I think this whole deal with Express Scripts and Walgreens put a black cloud over the company. And last year we saw their revenues decline, but we should see those revenues actually perk back up this year. I don't think it's going to be an exploding upside this year. If I owned it, I would hold it. I wouldn't add to the position right now.
Okay, so that's a hold. Hold it if you've got it, but don't buy more on Cardinal Health, CAH. And by the way, that's exactly what Ted Parrish is doing, because he said he's got the stock in his portfolio.
No money changes hands today.
Next, Dan in Birmingham, Michigan wants to know about C.H. Robinson Worldwide, CHRW.
This is an interesting company. This company is one of the largest third-party logistic companies in America, basically. They route packages for all of the big companies through the trucking space. And it's very unique, because in bad markets and in good markets, this company finds a way to make money. Since it doesn't hold the assets, it's actually a service company. It's in a unique position. It's very flexible, nimble, has a 2.5% dividend yield. No debt. We think that it's a great company to own now, especially with the economy ramping back up. So it's one that I would own. I would buy it.
Okay, so that was a buy on C.H. Robinson Worldwide. CHRW.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
And you talked about not liking financial services companies, so we may have a hint on this request from Al in Caledon, Ontario, Canada. He wants to know about the Bank of Nova Scotia. It's BNS. One that you like or one that you dislike?
We like it. It's one that I own. And it's, you know, we don't own very many banks. But this one's not all that exciting. I mean, there's not much in the way of, investment banking or anything like that here. But this company, all of their business lines are growing by double digits. And for those income-seeking investors, it pays a 4.15% dividend yield. We think that's nice and safe. And, the Canadian banks are pretty safe, relatively speaking, to the U.S. banks. If you need exposure in financials, this is one route you can take until you see more clarity in the U.S. banking system.
Okay.
So I would own it.
Okay. So that was a buy on the Bank of Nova Scotia, BNS.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Yeah.
And speaking of bye, 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 we have to say bye, bye, bye to Ted Parrish, manager of the Hensler Equity Fund, HEQFX, Hensler.com, if you want more information. Ted, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope we get a chance to do it again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate that. There is just a little bit more to go on today's edition of Money Life. We'll cross the finish line together right after this message.